Hello, everyone. Welcome to the When It Worked podcast. You're with your host, Julian Leahy. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Dan Coughlin and Jay Hicks. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had a great warm-up chat in the blue room, and I just wanted to keep talking about UFC with Jay, but we're going to have to get into things here, and we're going to play Jeopardy. The categories are randoms, sports, science, are you smarter than a fifth grader, video games, movies, pop culture, human geography, and music. Jay, being on the left, would you like to kick things off?
Sure, let's go with science for 100.
Science for 100. What is the study of the structures of the human body? I would say, if I could give you a clue, I don't know if it's right.
Biology? Maybe. Anatomy?
I'm going to go with, I think anatomy might be right. I'll pay that one, even though you did sort of get it wrong to start with. I'll let that one slide, and I'll let one slide for Dan as well. What would you like
take
next?
Take that, Dan.
Jay?
Do we have to answer in the form of a question, or do we have to ask it in the form of a question?
That'd be great if you did that, but I'll accept either.
Cool. Oh, man, you're just kicking me while I'm down, Dan.
Yeah. Can I just bring up that wasn't technically asked in the form of a question?
Yeah, man.
We're getting competitive right out the gate, Jay. Yeah,
there we go. All right, I'm going to just control the board and say human geography for 100.
Human geography for 100.
Those words don't match.
What is the national bird of the United States?
The bald eagle. What is the bald eagle?
There you go.
The bald eagle is correct, and I won't worry about that background question. Jake?
So are we just like racing against each other with these answers, or do they like ring in, or?
If Jay cannot answer, I will ask you to jump in if you can.
Okay. Cool.
Poor Dan. I'm just gonna just keep going.
You're on a roll, man. Go.
All right, let's do this. Let's do music for 100.
Music for 100. Which world famous female artist is also known as Queen Bee?
Who is Beyonce?
Beyonce, let's take a look. Beyonce is correct. Well done, Jay. Was that 100?
I'm going to bail on that category because that already scared me. That's the only one I'll probably know because these seem current.
Jay?
Let's do randoms for 100.
Randoms for 100. First superhero movie to star a female lead.
Ooh.
Who is Wonder Woman, or what is Wonder Woman?
Have to be, wouldn't it? Is that 100 points? Wonder Woman is correct. Well done, Jay. Nice. Jay's looking good. Don't worry, Dan. You'll get a chance to jump in.
You just got to pick like one 500 question, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Let's take science for 200.
Science for 200. T or F, the sun is true or false. The sun is 109 times the diameter of the Earth. Roughly 1.3 million Earths can fit inside the sun. That's
true.
Super specific. Let's see. True is correct. Well done for 200.
I was watching the Universe show on Netflix in the studio the other day.
I'm starting to think Jay's one of these people that knows every trivia question that I ask.
You want to watch me fail? I'll take Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader for 200 where you're sitting.
Okay, let's try that one.
I'm out.
What can you hold in your right hand but never hold in your left hand?
What is your right hand?
Let's take a look. Your left hand.
No, left hand. I got it backwards.
Okay, well, we're going to bring Dan the man in. Dan, what would you like?
I just got it backwards. I knew the answer. Damn it.
Let's do video games for 300. Let's
video
go crazy
games
here.
For 300. Ivor, Ezio, Altair, and Connor Kenway are the characters of what video game franchise? No idea. it sounds almost medieval, so I think maybe Skyrim or something, but I have no idea. I stopped playing video games a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I know this answer. It's the game where that guy has the hood on and he's always like climbing around and being all stealthy and stabbing other guys in the neck and stuff.
You know
what I'm talking about?
Snake something?
No.
It's definitely not.
It's not. Oh, I know what you mean. Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed. That is. That's it. All you right, got
if
that, it.
If that's correct, I'll pay because I do have to give you a clue.
Bam.
I owed you a clue. You got it. And that was 300.
If I can only think of it.
300. Well done, Dan. You are coming up. 300 points and in control. What would you like?
Appreciate the charity on that one. How about let's go music for 300.
Music for 300. Which artist is married to Orlando Bloom? I know this one.
Ooh.
My son was in love with her for several years.
Did you hear my warning shot the first time they had their category?
Wow, okay. I'll give everyone a clue.
Whoever answers.
Who is Katy Perry?
Yes.
I'm just guessing.
Is his Chris. Nice. And I was ready to bring in Jay there. So let's give some points away. Was that 300?
Good job,
well
Jay.
Well done. Jay is on 1,000, Dan, on 300. Jay, what would you like?
Let's do science for 300.
Science for 300. A fear of open spaces describes what phobia? I think I know this one. If you've got it, Dan, jump in.
Openophobia? I don't know.
What was that? What was that, Jay? Jay, what was that?
Openophobia?
Dan, any idea?
Oh, man.
It's always some weird root word.
Some weird word. Yeah, starts with an A.
It's not agoraphobia. It's probably abhorophobia or something like that.
It's not agoraphobia or it is agoraphobia?
It's not agoraphobia.
Okay.
It's got to be. Why did that come from Mark?
Where did it go?
Because it's something similar to it, I bet.
Oh, hang on. Let's get back to it.
Hey, I know that.
You're like, you'll never know the answer now.
Yeah, what have I done?
Because agoraphobic is the fear of being around people and, maybe it is outside spaces.
Yes, well, I've actually...
Then it is agoraphobia, yeah.
I would say so, and I've accidentally done something here. All right, continuing on, let's get back to this one and have a look at the answer. Oh, my goodness. The answer was, in fact, agoraphobia.
Oh, wow.
But
nice.
I'm not gonna pay that because you said it's not agoraphobia. All right, who's in control at this stage?
I think it's still me.
Still you, Jay. What would you like?
Human geography for 200.
Human geography 200. What is the national dish of Mexico?
Oh, shit.
No, it's not. But if you go to Taco Bell, you might be.
What is? What is fajitas?
Dan?
That's chili.
You want to have a go?
National dish? What is something a taco?
All right, let's take a look.
It can't be that easy.
Mole. What's
mole? Oh, man.
Guacamole.
It sounds mole. Like something I wouldn't put on my plate.
Yeah, mole.
I think it's like, is that like the beans with the dark sauce? That's mole,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Must be beans. Beans with cheese.
I have the palate of a toddler.
Beans with cheese.
Movies and pop culture for no, never mind.
Cold feet on that one.
Randoms for 200.
Randoms for 200. What mammal can truly fly? Now, why are they saying truly fly? Oh, I think I know why. Because one of them glides.
Well, then that would be truly flies. You're talking about like flying squirrels and shit, which is not, because they are gliding, sugar gliders, things like that. Mm. So what mammal can fly? Can a platypus get off the ground? I'm pretty sure that that's supposed to be a mammal, one of them weird ones.
Pretty sure that the platypuses cannot fly.
I'm pretty sure too.
I've only seen one.
I want to see it. Maybe if you kicked it like a football.
You will fly if you step on one.
I honestly have no idea.
Let's hear from Dan.
What is a penguin?
No, man. Penguins fly about as much as a platypus, right?
Oh, penguins a bird?
No,
I thought it was
penguins
a mammal.
Fly. They fly, but they're not mammals.
They do?
Oh, they fly. Yeah, I see them fly.
Where do they fly? They fly underwater.
They fly everywhere.
I always see them walking with their tuxedo on.
We got lots of them down here in Western Australia.
What is it?
All right, let's take a look at the answer.
Don't say the human in a plane.
Oh, I did the old wrong button trick. It is bats.
Oh,
that's
people
true.
People forget that bats are mammals. Yeah. They just don't think about them. All right, Jay, wow. You're still in control as Dan was not able to answer correctly and steal control off you.
Sports for 100.
Sports for 100. Who is the fastest sprinter of all time? That's easy.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt is correct, and he still holds the world record.
Does he really?
Yes, and it still has not been broken. I believe that is correct, which is absolutely incredible. What would you like now, Joe?
Let's do sports for 200.
Sports for 200. Who is the most famous? Oh, this is very subjective. Who is the most famous athlete of all time? I would say the greatest.
It's a soccer player.
True. Could be a soccer player. I'm going to accept anybody super famous because this question sucks.
Yeah, this is like super, what, Pele?
I would accept that, and I would accept like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. I'm going to give that to you. That really bugged me, that question.
It came to my mind, but I thought globally.
Yeah, I figured it was a soccer player.
I mean, you know, it's how long's a piece of string? All right, Jay, you're still in control.
Human geography for 300.
Human geography for 300. What is the hottest pepper chili in the world?
Oh, that's the Reaper.
Yeah, that's one of them.
So what is the Carolina Reaper and the habanero?
The other one I'm thinking is some sort of ghost chili, but
pepper.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Carolina Reaper. Let's take a look. Carolina Reaper with 2 million Scoville units. I've never tried.
I feel like it's just mean to have me pick first against Dan because
you're good. You're all there.
Let's see. What do we got here? Let's do. Are you smarter than a fifth grader for 100?
Nice.
What makes a square a square?
490 degree angles.
Let's take a look. It's got to be 4 equal sides. Is correct. Well done. Play that. Okay, Jay.
Randoms for 3.
Randoms for 300. This actor played a man lost at sea in the movie Castaway.
Tom Hanks. Did I just say Tom Wanks?
Yeah, Tom Wanks.
Yeah. That's his cousin.
I went to a school with somebody who fits that description.
That's the backseat of the bus.
Good to see the Australian slang getting a mention. Jay, what would you like?
Let's do... Are you smarter than a fifth grader for 300?
What goes up but never down?
I know this is a stupid riddle.
Real estate? What goes up and never down? This could be one of these aggravated questions.
It is. It's something stupid. Like, you know, what has 4 tires and flies, you know, a garbage truck.
Down. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
like a riddle. It's something like that. All right, let's take a look. Your age, actually, no, that's a riddle. Perfectly reasonable.
Wow.
Do they have to teach that in a class?
Yeah, I don't think they teach you that.
Like our education system has got some flaws. We got to describe that.
All right, let's hear from Dan. Let's give Dan a run. What would you like, Dan?
All right, let's do video games for 100.
Video games for 100. What is the first video game?
Video game?
Come on. You know this. Think simple.
I know the one. When you said simple.
Yeah, super simple. Think less than 8 bits.
The next one up, like Gallagher, I was thinking, but it's not.
Step back. Keep going back.
Yeah.
Go back.
I was thinking like.
You might have a paddle-ish type of controller versus a joystick. I think so.
Oh no, I was thinking Asteroid. Do you remember that one?
Pong myself.
Oh, yeah, Pong.
T Pong. That's
Pong. That's Pong.
Yeah, well done, Jay.
Tennis for two.
Oh, that is Pong.
Yeah, yeah. Who calls it tennis for two? Who?
Thanks, Jay.
This is outrageous.
Appreciate that tip. Yeah.
So who got it? Sorry.
The Dan did.
Dan got it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. He helped. But yeah, thank you.
All right, Dan. What would you like?
All right, let's keep rolling on that category. Let's do video games for 200.
Video games for 200. How much money did Microsoft buy Activision Blizzard for? Well,
if you get $200.
Yeah, this is one of these. You know, I mean, how much? Who knows?
That's tough, man. I'm gonna say.
I tell you what. I'll give it to whoever's closer.
Closest to the pin. Oh.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say $10 billion.
Okay. Jay.
1 million.
1 million or billion?
Correct.
1 million.
1 million.
I got a feeling that Jay knows the answer. Oh, Dan's got this one. That was huge.
Oh, damn. Damn. Well, wow.
I went for something absurd because, yeah, you know, you always hear the story of somebody buying something that's like.
Trick question sort of thing.
True.
All right, Dan, you're surging to 600. You're alive.
Yep.
What would you like?
Video games for 400. Let's do it.
Video games for 400. What is the number one best-selling game of all time?
Oh, man. Gee. I'm gonna have to say Super Mario.
Yeah, that's a good
Madden.
Answer. Madden. Okay, well... Now, do they include these games where you buy things like Minecraft, where there's all the skins and... Well, I don't know how much.
Oh, you mean like...
That's the most profitable, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, let's have a look. Madden versus Super Mario. Minecraft, it was Minecraft.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about that. I don't have kids. Not yet.
I think the question was about because it's best-selling and Minecraft is... Oh, it's not free, actually. No, you do have to buy it. All right.
Is it? You have to buy it? Yeah. All right.
Well,
let's cut that category out. Video games for 500.
All right. Video games for 500. What is the worst selling game of all time?
Oh. Oof.
Krog.
Krog. Worst selling game?
Who knows? I mean,
there's so many.
Whoever wrote this question, do they even know?
E.T. It's E.T. for Atari.
All right, let's
I know it was like labeled one of the worst.
Wow! No way, Jay. Video
and I'm not trivia. Googling. I have toys in my hands. I'm playing with a slinky.
Well, Jay wrote these questions.
That's incredible.
I had to think about it. I saw a documentary on it.
Actually, I remember reading something on Reddit about it. And
it was horrible. Like, E.T. made like this beep sound.
And you couldn't, you'd fall down this bit and you couldn't get up out of it or something. You literally
had to like jiggle the stick and float.
Yeah. Well done.
It was
Jay.
Awful.
I'm very impressed. What would you like?
Let's do fifth grader for four.
Fifth grader?
I need to feel stupid.
For 400. What is Rosa Parks' most famous?
Not giving her seat up on the bus.
That's correct. Well done. Even I know that in Australia.
What's that fuss? Everybody to the back of the bus.
All right, Jay. You're still in control.
Let's clear it out. 500. Fifth grader.
Fifth grader for 500. How many states are in India?
13.
Are you serious, Jay?
That's a random ass guess.
Oh, total guess. God, now let's take a look. 28.
And you guys were like, no.
All right, who would know that? I don't even know. I do know some states, I guess. Kolkata. Well, that's probably a city.
Chennai, Hyderabad.
Yeah, Chennai,
stuff like
that. Hyderabad. Yeah. Or are they cities? Who knows? All right, so who's in control? Let's.
Dan, you can take control.
Yeah, let's go with Dan.
All right, let's do movies, pop culture for 100.
Movies, pop culture for 100. Name the number one paid actor of 2021. So 2021 was not
2021.
So who would that be? Maybe the
I'm
guy,
gonna say
the guy
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. What was he in?
Like everything.
Everything. Was he in? Was he in Get Out?
No, I think
2021.
Idris Elba. No, yeah. Idris Elba.
I'm just guessing.
He's that real suave guy. Anyway.
I can't remember what happened on 21. This is probably wrong, but I'm going to say Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, if he did.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Iron Man.
Was there a Marvel in 21? I can't remember if there's a Marvel in 21
or not.
I'll
tell you about, what about Thor?
Could be.
Man, I don't watch TV.
That's not a while. Let's take a look. Dwayne The Rock. He must have had.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't everything. I bet the other one was Kevin Hart.
One of the Jumanjis, yep. Yeah. That was out.
Yep.
All right, Dan, you can be still in control. What would you like?
Oh, let's do movies and pop culture for 200.
Movies and pop culture for 200. What YouTube... Actually, I know this. What YouTube channel has the most subscribers?
My kids, Mr. Beast.
Follow this. Oh, maybe it is Mr. Beast. Well, I actually think it's an Indian channel because my kids know this. And it's called T-Series.
And, oh, jeez.
It's amazing. And they do all Bollywood dance things. Let's take a look. T-Series is correct. Well done.
Wow.
Great guess, though.
Yeah. I just said well done, and it was me.
I was going to say one of the.
I didn't mean to be that.
Holes.
Narcissistic. All right, Dan. You're still in control. What would you like?
Let's do randoms for 400.
Randoms Thank for 400. While in deep sleep, your muscles are too relaxed to allow this common action that is worst during allergy season to happen.
What a way to wake up.
What is terrifying.
Sneeze has to be sneeze. Sneeze is correct. Well done, Dan. 1,000 versus 2,900.
Wow. That was surprisingly easy for 400. Well, let's go randoms for 500 then.
Randoms for 500. What was the biggest earthquake recorded?
Oh,
so
geez.
I'm thinking either Japan or LA, maybe. Or no, there's been worse.
No.
South America, yeah. Turkey. Didn't they have a humongous one?
I lived in Tokyo for 5 years. I hate earthquakes. They're so weird. When the ground just shakes underneath you, I don't like it. That's...
I can't imagine. I've never had...
Biggest earthquake recorded. I have no clue. Jay, if you have a guess, because I have no
San
idea.
San Andreas. San Francisco.
GTA. I'm going to go with Turkey.
Chile.
9.5.
Oh, yeah. South America, wow. The forgotten continent.
Yeah, there's always tons. Landslides and everything down there. They don't have tsunamis, which is good. All right.
We live in the U.S. We don't talk about South America ever.
I know. And you know what they hate in South America is that when everyone says America, because they are America as well. They're like, why are they just America? What are we? My wife's actually from El Salvador. So that's why I know that.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot
topic. Particular complaint, yes. All right. Let's go to GA. What would you like?
Human geography for 4.
Human geography. Vikings originated from which 3 countries?
Norway, Sweden. Iceland?
And let's give Dan a run just in case. What would you go with?
I would go with Norway, Sweden, and Denmark.
Oh, Denmark, yes.
Finland.
I was going to say, you guys forgot Finland, but let's take a look. Oh, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. I think that's Dan. Is that Dan?
Dan.
I happen to have some Scandinavian blood in me, and that's why I knew that one.
You knew that one. Wow, Dan's a Viking, and Dan has just scored 400 points. He's catching up. Dan, what would you like?
I don't know about that. Let's do music for 200.
Music for 200. Which band originated in Great Britain took the world by storm with songs like Hey Jude and Here Comes the Sun? Could that be easier?
Could, I don't know. Could be the Beatles. Could be
the Beatles.
No, they said Let It Be.
Let's take a look. The Beatles. There's another 200 points.
That was a gimme.
Here comes Dan.
Let's do science for 400.
Science for 400. What is the temperature of the sun? Oh, my God. Who knows this? I know it's hot.
Oh, my God.
Super hot. Okay, this will be this. Whoever gets closest.
5 million Kelvin.
5 million Kelvin.
Jesus.
I have no idea what that means.
I'm going to say...
I'm going to go... I would say Celsius.
Yeah. I'm going to go like...
Isn't Kelvin like hotter? It's bigger?
Probably.
I think so.
I'm stupid.
I'm going to go like... 10,000 Celsius?
10,000 Celsius. I think it'd be a lot more than that, but let's take a look. 5,500 degrees Celsius.
Oh, not bad, man.
Well, Dan, you're pretty close. I don't know what a Kelvin is at all.
Man, am I just way
off? I think Kelvin is just like...
a unit of measurement.
I think it's like 300 off of Celsius or something like that, yeah.
All right, well, I'm gonna give it to Dan on that one. I hope that's okay.
-273 Celsius.
Oh, it's a it's cold. Kelvin's cold. Okay, so then Dan definitely.
I couldn't remember. I just said something.
Yeah,
well, that's what. I think absolute zero Kelvin.
That's the
right?
key to this game. Sometimes
first Baron Kelvin.
All right, Dan, you're on 2,000. Jay's on 2,900. Incredible comeback. What would you like, Dan?
Let's do science for 500.
Science for 500. What is the strongest metal on Earth in terms of tensile strength? What do they make the drill bits out of?
Yeah.
Tungsten?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one. I was going to say titanium, but I think that's...
I was going to say titanium, too.
I think titanium's
yeah.
an alloy, like it's man-made. Tungsten, well done.
It is tungsten.
Jay.
Nice.
He thinks, just when you think he's on the ropes, he just punches hard. Well done, Jay.
I'll take it.
How are we going here time-wise? We've been going... All right, we're going to do one more question, and we'll wrap it up. Jay.
Human geography for 500.
Human geography, big finish. Argan oil mainly comes from which country? What is it? I don't know.
Ooh. Argentina.
Yeah, that's a good logical guess. All right, Saudi Arabia for Dan. Let's take a look. Monaco.
Hey,
Monaco has oil? Isn't Monaco where all the millionaires have their yachts?
I thought that it was like some type of oil. I wasn't
Maybe
even thinking
some,
petrol.
Yeah, sort of like truffle oil.
I thought it was like olive oil or some
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, it's something. It must be. It's not like diesel or, you know. Anyway, well done to our fantastic guests. Let's have a round of applause. Jay on 3,400.
Right.
Dan on 2,000. Well played. And honorable mention to Dan for that great comeback. And also, Jay for his fantastic general knowledge on video games. All right, Jay, let's talk to Jay. Tell us a little bit about the Tragedy Academy. Jay, what is it?
Well, the Tragedy Academy is a show created to bridge societal divides in a judgment-free zone using candor and humor. We talk to people from all walks of life. We show that experiences are the lenses that we create over time, that they're just like prescriptions and glasses. You go through things, each one has a different take on reality. So you have to understand and empathize with people, just like you would if you tried to exchange glasses at the table. You would not be able to see the same. So we try to prove that on a daily basis. We show tragedy can, you can triumph over tragedy, excuse me. And that really we're just the sum of our experiences over time. Nothing more, nothing less.
And you do this with a guy called Gary DeFranco. Do you want to tell us who he is?
Yeah, Gary DeFranco was a guest on the show probably about 2 years ago, I think. He came from a mutual friend. He's the former executive producer of The Ultimate Fighter for like 20 years. He was with that. And then also like Street Outlaws and some other things. I interviewed him. We had a heinous interaction remote, like technology-wise. And ended up working through it. He's one of the coolest guys. And we became basically like best friends or close to it. And we talk every day and exchange music, really. It was over music production that we really became friends.
Awesome. And you do something with Jorge Masvidal, is that right?
Yeah, I've been working behind the scenes with Gamebred as a video graphics designer and working on the promotions that lead up to the actual fights. So fight week, Gary will be out there and filming with his crew, getting the training with the fighters that are going to be competing coming up. Like this last go around was bare knuckle MMA. And we had the heavyweight championship, which was Junior Dos Santos and Alan Belcher. And Dos Santos won definitively. And he also broke his nose. That ring looked like something I'd never seen. And for me, it's been super cool to watch this evolve because I'm not necessarily somebody that agrees with fighting as a whole. However, over time, I've become more accustomed to the fact that it is in fact an art and that people utilize their talents to create their own mechanism with which they can survive and then affect change outside of it. We're not necessarily going to be able to be effective with the talents we have to create certain change, but we can use that as a machine to create the money or to sustain our capabilities in other areas.
Do you have much to do with Jorge Masvidal? What's he like? Have you met him?
No, I have absolutely nothing to do with him. He probably doesn't even know I exist, except for I give him really cool ass graphics.
Okay, cool. All right, awesome. And with your podcast that you do, you know, you talk about, I guess, overcoming tragedy. Can you share a story of overcoming tragedy that led to an unexpected triumph?
Well, so the show itself is an amalgamation of the things that I've been through in life. And I grew up in a rural area of Florida, drugs, alcohol, violence, that kind of thing. And from there, I joined the military, just did some time there, nothing special, got out, went to, you know, to chase the American dream. I began doing all the things that everybody tells you you're supposed to do, get a college degree, go work in corporate, get a jacket, get a car, get a big house, get all those things. And I did. I did very well. I started, you know, getting my degree at night, worked in the insurance industry, turned around, worked in the consulting industry. I was a solution architect manager for some of the largest consulting firms in the world. And I was on my knees every night crying with anxiety, panic, and hated existing. Told my wife every day I was supposed to be doing something different. Not supposed to be doing this. I feel like there's a different me inside of me, right? And that's when I started to realize that you have to hit your knees to plant a tree to grow into something, right? And that's where I was at that moment. And I left my career out there. So that's their traumatic event, right? And that traumatic event was a journey that led me to the understanding that we are all comprised of masks. We have different personalities that we interact with people throughout our lives with, from careers to, you know, interviews to your mother, to your friends. We have different personalities for all of those, but none of those are the original child from within. We're not the child that we started out to be. We've grown to a mold that's been placed over us. And that mold over time creates issues. It creates depression, anxiety, and a fear of time. Time, the mental illness, right? So I found out that all of those burdens that I'd held inside of me were actually me not being me. They were me being other people and collecting them over time. And I believe that everybody does that. I believe it's a choice. And you have to drop that bag of masks in order to understand who you really are and go back to where you came from.
Awesome. And how long have you been doing the Tragedy Academy?
It's been almost 5 years now. Coming up on 5 years. I've interviewed probably 160 guests. And then we had a show before that with another probably 75 that we've removed that one because we like what we're doing now. But yeah, we've interviewed UFC fighters. We've interviewed skydivers, gang violence survivors, trans community members. LGBTQ is something that we're really big and involved in. We love that community. We've done bullying. We've done, you name it. We have it on there. Always crazy stories. We had the Abu Dhabi Falconry Hospital doctor, the first female to start working there with the animals, who had to go through being not trusted by the male population there with such a sacred animal. You know, we talk about all sorts of wild stuff. Enjoy it. Every single time I get on the mic, it's a great time. And it's like seeing versions of yourself.
And what's the, you know, what's the main, I guess, goal behind it? Is it just something that you enjoy, or, you know, is it intertwined with your business at all, or?
No, the Tragedy Academy is something that I solely do on my own with Gary since he joined me. And it's to affect change. It's to bridge societal divides. It's to help people understand that we are the sum of our experiences. It's something that I'm compelled to do. And I feel that through these actions, we create ripples in a pond. And just like when you throw the rock, someone else can mimic you. It's not about the ripples and how far they go. It's how many people you teach to throw a rock.
Awesome. And how often do you put episodes out?
So we do two different types of episodes. We do one a week with a guest, in which we go through, we interview them, and then we put together clips and things like that, and we put them out throughout the week. And then on Thursdays, we do lives on TikTok, and we call that detention. We do have detention episodes as well. Those are always considered bonus, and they are not on topic. They are us being jackasses, talking about the dumbest things on the planet and loving, you know, hanging out. Because I believe that just like in our logo, you see the masks there. We have to embrace both sides of ourselves. We can't live to a character. We have to be ourselves unconditionally in the good and the bad. So we have fun. After hours, our old intern, Jonah, comes in. He's about two generations younger than me. And we have a blast with it because we like lunatic stuff.
Awesome. And how long did it take for you to start to feel like you're getting traction with the Tragedy Academy?
About 2 years. 2.5 years is when I started seeing things. For me, podcasting cannot be something that you're looking to simply sustain yourself with, because at that point you're not putting out an authentic product. You're putting out a product that you think people want to hear. It takes time to find your voice. It takes time to connect with people. And it takes time to build trust. The human ear is the closest spot to the brain. And if you're given the privilege of being inside somebody's ear, then you have, the onus is on you to create content that's worthwhile, that can help and not hinder society. And I feel like it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in the ear, because they're going to utilize you as a moral compass at some point, because that's what happens with a podcast. You become a friend, confidant, somebody that they get advice from, even when you're not in their ear. So I feel like it's something that requires passion and authenticity in order to succeed.
Awesome. Yeah. So some good advice there for people who are thinking about getting a podcast. What would you tell people that are thinking of starting a podcast? What's the top three things they need to know?
Top three things you need to know. Well, number one, yourself. You have to know yourself. You cannot go out there and sell a product without knowing who you are at the same time and what you're selling. If you know your passion, if you truly know who you are, then you're ready. You're ready to affect change. You're ready to put pen to paper, or you're ready to start learning. Your next step after knowing what your passion is and your purpose and that authenticity is understanding what your capabilities are in marketing, I guess. Marketing is difficult because you're going to come into a situation in podcasting where people are going to tell you what you should be doing. They're going to tell you, they're going to sell you widgets. They're going to give you covers. They're going to tell you how to add this, how to add that. And your second goal is to believe in yourself. You don't have to listen to other people. Don't let somebody write your story. Just continue to put it out. Everybody wants to hear about the technical. Everybody wants to hear about the microphones and, you know, what kind of equipment do you use in order to get it out there? And I'll be 100% honest. America has ear bigotry on lock. If your sound is not clean, they will turn you off. They don't want to hear you, whether you're giving the I have a dream speech. If it sounds like it's in two tin cans on either end, they're going to turn you off, right? So you have to invest the time, not necessarily the money. The money can come separately, but the time that goes into editing is where you're going to get more bang for your buck. So you've got to sit down and understand what it is that you're putting together, right? So understand the landscape of how a podcast is created. Learn your audio, your visual, all the things that you want to combine into it. And then just understand that you're going to fuck up. Excuse the language, I didn't even ask, but you are. You're going to mess it up every single day. You're going to get angry at it, but you're also going to get some cognitive behavioral therapy. there's nothing better than listening to your own voice in your ears over and over and hearing your stammers, hearing your mistakes, hearing yourself call out and to get attention in moments that just remind you that you're a child. So that's my extra tidbit there, as you do get some CBT in podcasting. But I would say that you got to know yourself. You've got to believe in yourself, and then you've got to invest the time into the product, the brand.
Awesome. And don't quit. That's great. If you want to check out the Tragedy podcast, I've put all of the details in the show notes. Thank you very much, Jay Hicks, for coming on and telling us about what you're up to.
Thank you so much for having me and for having one of the coolest icebreakers. One of the hardest things about coming into a podcast is that initial fear that a lot of new guests will have entering a room, and giving them something familiar like that to break down is a super smart move. I love it.
It's good to have fun. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of it. And thanks for playing and thanks for being fun. Jay Hicks.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. There's our guest, Dan from Get Hyped. And Dan, we're going to talk about influencer marketing. We're going to switch it up a little bit. Awesome. Tell us a little bit about that. What do we need to know? What is influencer performance marketing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Julian. Appreciate it. You know, happy to share, I run an influencer marketing agency out of Hartford, Connecticut. And to answer your question, influencer performance marketing means using influencers, which has become a very common word that gets thrown around in a lot of different conversations and circles these days in 2024. But using those folks who do have influence on social media to really help improve a business's bottom line, meaning make revenue, make sales, generate leads for those businesses that happen to be our clients.
And what type of businesses are suited to this style of influencer marketing?
Yeah, so it generally works best for what we call consumer businesses, meaning any kind of business that sells direct to consumer. There is a very successful segment of B2B influencers, right? Influencers that are in a very specific niche that help businesses sell to other businesses. But for the most part, my agency, we're specialists in the consumer area.
And can you tell us a little bit about the process from, call to you? What can people expect? What happens? How do they interact with the influencers, and how do they form the campaign? All of that stuff.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, influencers these days can be used by really like any size business, which is awesome. It's like, there's never been a better time in history, I feel like, to start a business. There's evidence of that everywhere, right? People are starting businesses like crazy. People are leaving the corporate world and becoming freelancers and then hiring a couple people. And before you know that, they have a successful business. So influencers are helping drive that, right? Influencers, like if you have a solid product and you have good core values for your business, then naturally influencers are going to be attracted to your business, right? Influencer marketing is nothing new, right? It didn't all of a sudden come out of nowhere with social media, right? There's influencers have been in our culture for as long as anyone, written history, right? It's just that
Jesus
social
was
media
the first influencer.
Exactly. Right. It's just that influencers now, it's becoming this buzzword because social media is bringing an influencer in China to your screen here in front of your face in America and vice versa. So, when it comes to how businesses can leverage that, the trend that we're seeing is that even brick and mortar, small local businesses are finding influencers on a smaller scale in their local community and working with those folks to spread the word about whatever it is they're selling. The key is you have to have a solid product, a solid service, and stand behind your business, or else influencers can actually work against you, right? They're just really, they're storytellers is what they are.
And what's the benefit of using an agency to do this as opposed to sending a DM to Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, well, I mean, that works too. Your businesses are certainly capable of doing it themselves. You can think of using an agency like us to shortcut the process, take the guesswork out of it, remove the potholes and the roadblocks that are going to come along the way as you learn the best way to partner with influencers successfully. Right. There's a lot of just like any other kind of marketing, there's a lot of wrong ways to go about it.
Yeah.
So working with an agency like us kind of just takes all that guesswork out of it.
Yeah, I mean, and who's really got time to be contacting hundreds of people trying to get them to agree to whatever you're selling? And also, you know how to approach the people and have the campaign idea ready that's going to be attractive to them. And I think if you're a business and, you know, it's always better to get a professional in to handle it. Is there any stories, case studies you could mention that of successful campaigns?
Yeah, exactly. And I would just say, like, you nailed it. Like, the first impulse of a lot of business owners is like, I'm going to send that DM or I'm going to email this influencer. And, you know, they think about it, you know, understandably, they're thinking about it from their perspective as the business owner. Like, hey, I'm going to offer this influencer, like, you know, some free products, and my products are the best. So they're going to love it. They're going to be excited about it. But you have to put yourself also in the influencer's shoes and think about it from their perspective. They are highly sought after resource. They're super popular these days. So what they're actually getting on their end is hundreds of DMs or hundreds of emails into their inbox every week with all these offers for free product. So they have the ability to be really selective. So if I had to, you know, say like, hey, here's some advice for a business owner that wants to work with influencers, is really make it worth the influencer's while, right? If you really think an influencer is going to help drive your business's bottom line forward, give them a fair offer, right? Make sure there's monetary compensation involved. It's kind of like in 2024 now, 5 years ago, you could offer product in exchange for posts for influencers. That was really popular and that strategy worked. Today, that strategy really doesn't work anymore. Post COVID, all these businesses are going online and working with influencers. There's a lot of competition. So you have to kind of stand out from all that noise. You have to kind of like rise above that and, you know, have an offer for an influencer that's super attractive.
Awesome. And do you have any people that you could name drop, or is that confidential? Any influencers that you've got on the books?
Any influencers that are in the books? You know, like, so there's different levels, right? Our agency, being a boutique agency, we deal mostly with like nano, micro, and mid-tier influencers. And those are some industry lingo gets tossed around. But what that basically means is just any influencer with an audience size that's up to about 500,000 followers, which means that we've worked with influencers in the millions all the time, but typically 90% of our clients are working with those influencers that are like under 1 million followers or subscribers. Above 1 million, you're going to call them like mega or celebrity type influencers. And they're just so damn expensive these days that most small and medium sized businesses, it doesn't make sense to partner with an influencer that large, right? There's in today's marketing strategy, there's a thing called influencer amplification that is actually smarter for small and medium sized businesses to do. And that involves partnering with an influencer and asking for their permission to run their post as an ad. So what you do is you essentially combine like Facebook or TikTok ads with the influencer's authority, and you blast it out to a far bigger reach of people for a more affordable price for a small business. That's the best approach. Sorry, my light's turning over.
Interesting. Yeah. So there are some tricks to it. So if you want to find out how to do this, have a chat to Dan over at Get Hyped, and I've put all of Dan's contact details in the show notes and in the description. Thank you very much for coming on, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Julian. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. And thanks to our guests, Dan Coughlin and Jay Hicks. And thanks for listening and watching. I'm going to wrap things up. You've been wonderful. See you next time.